If you've been struggling with your weight, Mochi Health is here to help. Mochi Health is a long-term weight loss solution personalized to fit your unique needs and goals. Meet one-on-one with board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians who are on a mission to listen. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medications at an affordable set price and get them delivered to their home each month. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 at checkout for $40 off your first month of membership.
Let's BOGO! The Hoppin' Good sale at Designer Shoe Warehouse is on. Buy any pair of shoes in-store or online. Get a second qualifying pair 50% off. Yep, must-have sandals, sneakers, and more from brands you love are buy one, get one 50% off at DSW. But only for a limited time, so hop to it. Fill your basket and score BOGO 50% off at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Swinging a high drive into center field, hits at the wall, it is gone! Passes does it again. It's gone! It's into the bullpen! This game is tied!
He swings and rips one to center field. It's high, it's deep, it's back, it's gone! Sale winds, he fires. Swing and a miss, strike three, it's over! The Red Sox have won the World Championship!
What's up? Welcome back to Playtesting. It's episode 195. This is the official Red Sox podcast of WEI. Before we get going, remember, hit that subscribe button wherever you get your podcasts. Find us on YouTube. We're on the WEI channel. You can find the Playtesting playlist there. It has all of our episodes in video form. So subscribe to WEI. Hit the thumbs up on the videos. You get the drill. Find us on the socials at Playtesting on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. I'm here with Sammy, here with Pat. It's Gordo here talking to you guys. We are really, really freaking excited, not just about the sweep, but we got the chance on Saturday before that game got rained out to sit down with Christian Campbell, star rookie of the Boston Red Sox, a guy who we've gotten to know since, you know, starting back at Fenway Fest, but then really getting to know him at spring training. We couldn't quite figure out a time to sit down with him there, but he was, you know, super nice and wanted to make time to sit down with us. So we've got an interview with Christian Campbell, and we're going to talk all about the series, the storylines, everything that has happened with the Red Sox since we last spoke with you guys. There has been a lot that has happened, but I think we just get right into this interview. We'll react a little bit to the interview, and then we'll talk through the series, talk through the storylines afterward. That sound good to you guys?
Sweet. Let's do it.
All right, let's get into it. This is our interview with Christian Campbell.
We're here with star rookie Christian Campbell. Christian, it must be insane to think about the last year. I mean, a year ago, think about it. Last spring training, like, prospect list didn't even have you in the top 25 Red Sox prospects. You break out in a huge way, minor league player of the year. You make the team out of camp. A few days into the season, you're now here for 10 years. You've got a big extension. How do you put into words what this last year has been like for you?
It's really hard to put into words. I don't even think I could put it into words how this last year has been. It's been a lot of developing, though, just like getting better each and every day and trusting the process one day at a time and just, you know, staying committed to the hard work it's been.
So let's go back to Texas. Opening day, that first at bat, you got a tough customer, Nate Eovaldi. He's been around the block, grown man, throws hard. What was that first at bat like for you?
That first at bat was crazy. I mean, stadium was full of people. Everybody was cheering. He's a great pitcher. I've never faced him before. I couldn't feel the ground either when I was in the batter's box. So there was a lot going on for sure. I was super excited and nervous at the same time. Kind of like yesterday, nervous for my first time here at Fairway. But it was exciting. I was super happy that I got to face him and get to experience what it's like to be a big league baseball player.
Yeah, you got a rare good weather home opener at Fenway as we stand out here in the freezing cold rain for day two. What was that like? What was the home opener like for you?
It was crazy. It was the best place to be. It lived up to its expectation for sure. The fans were crazy. They really enjoyed the game. I'm really happy we all did a really good job of contributing yesterday and getting that win. For the home opener, I think I saw a fact that it said we haven't won a home opener since like 2020. Or
it's been a minute, yeah.
I didn't know that.
The day the Titanic sank?
Yeah, I didn't know that. So that was really cool to do that. And it was a great game overall. I mean, from the first inning, it was off to a good jump. Yeah, so that was really exciting. I'm happy we pulled it out.
Don't you love how it starts pouring the very night? Like, we start the interview and it just starts pouring on it.
Yeah, we're getting rained on badly right now.
So you're on a team full of veterans, and good veterans. We know, like, the whole Bregman bought everybody suits down in spring training. What is having good veterans as you're a young guy on the team? What does that mean to you? And then also, has Bregman asked for a reimbursement now that you're a paid man?
No, he hasn't asked for a reimbursement. No, he hasn't. But it means a lot to me, to be honest. Coming into Major League Baseball, being the youngest one on the team, I think, is something new to me. If I have the way to describe it, I feel like I'm a freshman on varsity again in high school. I mean, that's how I kind of feel. And it's always good to have guys like Bregman and Story and even Ref, some of the guys who have been here for a long time, show you the ways around, show you the do's and don'ts, some of the unwritten rules of just being a professional baseball player. And that's really important to me because I have no idea what I'm doing. I'm nervous, excited. There's a lot of emotions going into it. My family's excited for me. I want to play good, you know what I mean? It's like a lot going on, so it's very important for them to like be able to talk to me, calm me down, and understand what I'm going through.
How does it feel to be playing? I mean, like you said, you're like a freshman on varsity, and like we talked about it, like the crazy whirlwind of the last year. I mean, it must have been unimaginable to be in this spot a year ago. How do you stay so level-headed and keep a good approach? And like, it's crazy. You see so many rookies, the highest ranked prospects. Jackson Holliday always comes to mind, of guys who come up and struggle. Mm-hmm. How have you been able to have this much success with all of this craziness happening around you?
I feel like just a lot of maturing in college. I had that transition from high school to college to pro baseball, even though I only played in college for a year. That helped me a lot to mature and become the player I am today. It taught me a lot, to be honest. I mean, it is overwhelming sometimes, you know, to come and play in front of a lot of people, but like, it comes with its turf, so you know what to expect, and it's a good thing to be able to come out here and play in front of everybody, and everybody be excited to see you. But just that stage I got from, I guess, college maturing a little bit more before I got into pro baseball helped me a lot, I feel like.
Yeah. All right. One of my favorite things that I've learned about you since the season started is that you don't call your teammates. You call them your friends.
Yeah.
And I, first of all, I love that.
You've been talking about this nonstop for 3 days.
He won't shut up about it.
He loves it. He loves the friends thing.
So I got to know, is it like a conscious thing that you decided, like, I need to, it doesn't feel right to call them teammates. I got to call them friends.
Yeah.
Or did it just kind of come naturally and it's just what you do?
No, I mean, just the way they are, to be honest. Like, it's easy to call them my friends. I'm around them every day. I get to play baseball with them every day. We all love to be out here, and we all have fun doing what we do. No matter what's going on, you know, the highs and lows of baseball can be tough sometimes, but just having your guys next to you to uplift you and tell you it's going to be okay, that means the world to me and to everybody else in the locker room. So, I mean, these are my best friends. They're going to be my friends for as long as they're on the team, for as long as I'm on the team. I mean, just being around them every day, you get to learn so much about them. It's like, you got to be friends with them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, those are your best friends. I mean, it doesn't make sense. But yeah.
I love that.
So you and your friends broke out for the home opener, a new home run celebration, a Wally head of sorts. Give me the backstory behind that. How did that come to be?
I had no idea about the Wally head until it came out after
the first home run. That's
crazy. So what was your reaction?
Just like us.
I was actually walking on deck when Trev hit that home run. Yeah, I was like, yo, what's going on? And it was a big Wally head, and they put it on Trev, and the next was Willie, obviously, the back-to-back. And I was like, this is crazy. And then the stadium was all yelling and stuff, and I was on deck. I was just like, oh my gosh, I'm going to have to go hit in front of all these people for the first time. Like, I don't know what's going to happen. Like I said, it felt like Texas pretty much, but it's different being at home, you know?
Yeah.
Like, this is a crowd I'm going to be in front of for a long time, and you always want to do good in front of them. So I'll definitely settle in soon. But it's just you want to do good, you know, in front of the home crowd, and that's what I'm saying. I'm really happy we did good and won the home opener.
Last question for you. This made its round in spring training.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever seen The Town?
The movie The Town. Oh, that's no. What is
oh
it?
Oh my, Christian, you got some catching up to do.
The Town.
You have 10 years to watch it, so you're good.
That's next.
Yeah,
that's
you
got to watch The Town.
a heist movie with Ben Affleck, Jeremy Renner, and they rob Fenway. That, with that synopsis, you're robbing Fenway. You can pick anybody in the organization, three people to rob Fenway with, and a getaway driver. Who are you picking and why?
Ah, three people. I got to pick Chapman, right? I mean, physical, big body. I mean, I feel like I'll use him as a decoy. Everybody would, like, everybody would be looking at
attention.
Him. Yeah,
is he going to be the sacrificial lamb?
Like, yeah, they he might be. Yeah, he might be. Yeah, because I feel like everybody's going to be paying attention to him. I mean, I look a little bit different, so I would have to cover up pretty good. You know, I got to cover my hair and everything. Let me see. Who else? I got to take someone that's not expected, though. So I got to take, like...
So it could be anyone in the organization. Doesn't have to just be team. Oh, anyone in the
organization. In the organization. Okay. Oh, I got to go with Nelly. Nelly Taylor. Yes. Do you guys know him? That's my guy. That's my roommate since day one. Ever since we got drafted. Got to go with him. And I got to go with... let's go Micah Romero.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why Mikey?
It's wise. Super wise.
Super wise?
Yeah. Good head on his head. Good head on his shoulders. And super wise. Lead us in a great direction for sure.
And then you get a driver. Who are you picking?
The driver... Let's do... Let's do... Man, that's a tough one, the driver. Let's do... Man, I can't think of one. Anybody in the org to drive. I'm gonna go with Sedan.
Okay. All right.
Sedan.
He can drive.
He can step on it?
Yeah, he can step on it. He can drive. Duran's a good one. Duran's a good one too. He's a car guy. I know that. I would actually pick Duran. I'll pick Duran. Yeah.
We saw that clip of the Netflix doc. He fixes Tristan Casas' car.
That's what I'm saying. He's a car guy.
There you go.
Duran. Duran. Yeah, he will step on it for sure.
Good group.
All right, Christian, we really appreciate it, man. In the rain and the cold, like, one of
the Yeah, it is pouring. It was, like, drizzling when we started this interview. It is coming down right now. I'm freezing.
You know, it's just a part of being in Boston. You know, you got to get used to it.
I can feel a single raindrop going from my back of my head down to, like, my underwear. It's the coldest thing I've ever felt in my life.
We promise it'll get better maybe by July.
Think so?
Maybe.
I heard it's supposed to snow.
We don't promise.
Don't say that.
Stop, like, chattering up in here. Oh, my God.
Thanks, Christian.
Yeah, thank you guys.
Yeah.
All right, big shout out to Christian Campbell for making the time. And just to take you guys behind the curtain a little bit about how this came together. So this was the day of Christian Campbell's press conference for his new contract extension. He was there at the ballpark in a full suit with his family. They were all there. So he had all that stuff. He had a whole photo shoot. They were taking him around the concourse and the seats, photo shooting everything. And then after that, he obviously, you saw him in the doubleheader. He was playing some center field in the first game. He had to go do some outfield work to get ready to play center field for the first time all season. And basically, while he was doing that, we had set up a spot in the dugout because it was raining. So we were going to get a spot in the dugout to sit down. We had the room. It was great. And while he was out there, the medical staff had this big box of whatever, tools and medical whatever. And they put it down basically right where we were going to record, obviously is their right to do. And we're obviously going to let them do that. It's their space. But we had to kind of adjust on the fly because maybe a minute after that, Christian Campbell's running in and we don't want to keep the guy waiting. And so basically we had to do the interview. If you're watching on YouTube, you saw it. We were outside the dugout. And when we started, it was raining pretty lightly. It's also pretty cold. But by the end, it was coming down. And he was so nice about it, man. He was so happy to do it. Like, he remains maybe my favorite dude on this team right now because he's just such a nice guy and so easy to root for.
Yeah, super generous with his time as well. A lot going on for him that day, and he was still happy to not just do the interview, but you know, chat before and after. So very thankful for Christian Campbell. Great interview. A lot of things to unpack from it. I hope people enjoy listening to that interview as much as we enjoy conducting it.
Yeah, it like, dude, he's just like, we've said it every time he comes up. He's just like the nicest guy, dude. I was like joking around with him before we started, and I was like, we're going to grow old together, dude, over the next decade. And he dead serious was like, dude, I look forward to it. And like patted me on the back, and I'm like, dude, I love you, dude. Just the nicest guy in the world. He's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, he could have, I mean... God, I just went over how busy his day was. And, you know, it's got to be hectic. I mean, not just the day, but his life in general. So much has changed. And we kind of talked about it in the interview. Is just what he's so good at is keeping a level head, not getting too high, not getting too low, making sure that whatever's going on off the field doesn't affect what's going on the field. And guess what? All of this stuff soon enough is going to be in the rearview mirror, and he's just going to be able to focus on baseball for the rest of his time here, man. And it's just, it's going to be minimum 8 years. It's probably going to be 10 and maybe beyond that. So it's just, it's exciting. We had a whole fun day at the ballpark that day, even without a game. We did some radio. We were drenched going to radio. We went straight from the interview to radio. Just water pouring down our hair and faces and chattering. We were freezing, but warmed up in the booth, talked some socks. Rob had a generational meltdown on a caller, which was awesome. Hogdale called in. That was spectacular. So just a great overall day, even without a game played.
I need to make a correction. Gordo, you were freezing. All of us were fine. You guys weren't cold.
The only time I was cold is when we were doing the Christian Campbell interview itself, because we couldn't move and we were getting drenched. So it just kept getting colder and colder as we were standing out there. But if we were in the dugout and covered, it was fine.
Also worth noting, Gordo was the only one who pulled the ultimate idiot move by going to his base layers for the interview.
Yep.
Yeah, so what was that?
After we did that, the interview... Me and Sammy and Joe, like, shed our jackets, like, oh, wet jackets off. Gordo's wearing a dry jacket over a soaking wet t-shirt, or soaking wet shirt.
Actually, so Pat, let me correct you here. The jacket, I left it in the open by mistake, so the jacket was wet too.
Okay, so Gordo was wet and put on more wet when it was 45 degrees outside. So
he was too fascinated by all the Campbell talk about being friends.
Yeah, oh, I was so excited to ask him about that. I was so excited to ask him about that.
Guy's always wet when he's at Fenway, you know. That was pretty rough. Just during the interview, that was cold, legit. And we were making fun of Gordo the whole time for talking about how cold it was, and then when we got out there and didn't have the shelter and started to get drenched, it was pretty cold. But just Christian Campbell, who's from Georgia, didn't seem to care. Whatever, he's built different. It's clear at this point.
Yeah, dude's just. He's a stud. I'm happy he's going to be here. And like, we're going to obviously get to do more with him in the future. So just excited for everything that's been coming his way. His family, you know, they're super proud of him, and they should be. So that was just super exciting for us. And we're glad we got to put it out there super quickly for you guys, because obviously Christian Campbell, deservingly so, he's all the rage right now.
I've been working with a nurse dietitian for the last 6 months, and it's been life-changing. I've lost weight, healed my relationship with food, and have way more energy. Working with a dietitian online to create a personalized nutrition plan was so easy thanks to Nourish. The best part? I pay $0 out of pocket because Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play Stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
But let's get into the series, man. It was a good time. We're not like the pod, the structure of this pod is not series by series anymore, but these Monday drops are going to end up being like that. And this series was just, it was great. You had a home opener where, you know, everything kind of came together except for the ninth inning, but it is what it is. Like they still won by four runs and it was great. Second game, great comeback win in the ninth inning off one of the best closers in baseball, maybe the future closer of the Boston Red Sox. And the third game was just an absolute onslaught. And the first guy I want to talk about with you guys here is Willier Abreu, because this is a guy who all offseason was in, I don't want to say trade rumors. I mean, he was in some trade rumors. There was reports. I know John Morosi was pretty hard on the Willier Abreu could get traded. I remember he was talking about the Mariners and such at the time. But it was a lot of fake trades, and to be fair, a lot of them came from us. Like I remember we had the whole Willier Abreu and Cutter Crawford are in every trade proposal. But I mean, you look at the stats: league leader in batting average, Willier Abreu, .483; league leader in OBP, Willier Abreu, .595; league leader in slugging percentage, Willier Abreu at .897; league leader in OPS, Willier Abreu at .1492. It's this guy and Aaron Judge have been the two best hitters in the league, and now you saw it in the third game. Willier Abreu, Gold Glove defender from last year, made one of the best right field throws you're going to see all season to gun down. Was it Brendan Donovan at third?
No, it was Lars Nootbaar.
Nootbaar, you're right. It was Nootbaar. So I mean, my question to you guys, and I texted you this after the first game. This is before he had two more hits and a great throw in the second game. What do we make of this? Like, I don't want to sound like a dickhead here calling a guy a star only for him to come back down to earth, because we've seen some of these great starts for a week and then the guy comes back down to earth. But like, mm-hmm. You watch the at-bats. We've obviously seen the defense. He's doing it against lefties too. I mean, at what point can we say that – obviously he's not going to hit .483 the whole year. But at what point can we say that this guy is a for real legitimate stud that you can count on to do this for the whole year?
Yeah, well, he definitely looks improved, especially against left-handed pitching. That was the big knock on him. It wasn't just 2024 that he didn't hit lefties well. It was most of his minor league career as well. So it was a fair criticism to say, hey, we're not sure that this guy's ever going to be able to adjust to left-handed pitching at the major league level. Looks like he's starting to do that against righties. He's crushing them. Like you said, Gordo, the defense, still amazing. That throw on Sunday, oh my God, that was like prime Vlad Guerrero level throw. Just,
yeah.
Sheesh. As far as to answer your question, when do we buy in? I definitely need to see a little bit more. I think it's fair to say he looks improved, but to what degree? We really don't know yet. It's still been a very, very small sample size. We're less than a month into the season. In maybe May, I think we'll have a better idea. And even then, it's going to be tough. But right now, I guess where I'm at is I'm comfortable saying he certainly looks improved. And it's crazy. Every ailment this guy has, he gets better. He gets sick, loses a ton of weight, gets better. On Sunday, he's got heavy legs. He's got a rest for the first game. Nope, he's pinch hitting. Success, walk off. And then game two, he plays well with the heavy legs, whatever that is. So Like I was saying on Twitter, maybe Alex Cora is going to like break his wrist or something, and then he'll hit four home runs in one game with a broken wrist, something crazy like that. It just seems like there's no stopping Willier Abreu right now.
I think the big thing too with Willier compared to last year, right? Like Willier, the defense was never questioned. He literally won a Gold Glove last year. Against righties, he was very good. 825 OPS, hit 266. Against lefties, he hit 180. Like, if you even get that up to 230, 220, his batting average is spiking 15, 20. Like, that was the only knock on him last year. And granted, he's shown thus far, small sample size, but he has way more power and extra base power this year than compared to last year. But if he can even marginally upgrade against lefties, you're talking about a legit outfielder who is like a centerpiece of a lineup now. Which, yeah, a year ago, we weren't saying that. We were saying platoon outfielder with great defense. Essentially, Rob Refsnyder, but younger.
And he does it against righties, so he'll get to play in more games. But, like, I mean, yep, it's I mean, whether he gets to that point, and I think I'm almost comfortable calling him, like a star. I don't know. It feels weird. I'm trying to remember when we started calling Jarren Duran a star last year. I'm trying to remember at what point in time, because I remember we had the ace, what is Tanner Houck an ace conversations last year. I'm trying to remember when I got there with him. With Willier, when he came up in the ninth inning, or no, at the 10th inning, I'm sorry, of the first game of the doubleheader, it felt like the game was done. And it was, because he put it off the wall. It's just like, you expect big things to happen when he steps up to the plate, and they do. And to his credit, it's not just like the balls are falling. It's not even just that he's hitting the ball well. He's putting together professional at bats too. And this, to your point, Pat, it's been against left-handed pitching too. Like, he's drawn double-digit pitch walks against lefties. Like, that is not something I ever expected that we were going to see from Abreu. And the reason he was in these conversations, these potential like mock trades, the who says knows, is because we thought the Red Sox needed to have an emphasis on right-handed hitting. But and that in part is because of what you want to do against lefties, what you need to be able to do against lefties. If Christian Campbell is as good as he's looked, if Alex Bregman is a long-term piece here, and obviously he's really good, if Trevor Story continues to hit, and he's looked a lot better, if some of these left-handed hitters hit left-handed pitching, it's so much less urgent to balance out the lineup when your guys actually hit lefties. So I'm going to keep seeing what Willier Abreu gives us, but for the time being, like I'm at the level where bad things are going to have to happen for me to fall off of the he's a star label.
It wasn't just balancing the lineup. It was also fitting everyone into the lineup. Like Roman Anthony, the number one prospect in baseball, you're going to have to find a spot for him. You have Sadon Rafaela, who's already locked up long term. Yoshida now, who's not long term, but he's locked up. What do you do with that guy? And then Duran was a top 10 MVP finisher in 2024. What do you do with him? There's so many spots. Willier just always felt like the odd man out. But the more and more he keeps playing like this, I won't share this take right now. I'm kind of shifting who I think the odd man out is, along with Yoshida. Yoshida would be the obvious answer. There's more than one. Which, again, this is a good problem to have if you're the Red Sox. Too much talent, better than not enough talent. So, long season, though. I'm not ready to make any crazy statements about Willier Abreu. I'm simply at he definitely looks improved. To what degree, we will find out.
One thing, too, Sammy, is like all offseason long, the Willier and the mock trades and the Williers, like the kind of odd man out, was never a knock on Willier. It was because he did not do anything that the other options didn't give you. Jarren showed last year, he was a five-tool guy. He played great defense. He was stealing bases, doubles, triples, home runs. Like, he did everything right. Sadon, platinum glove, might be in his future. He's that good defensively in center field. And then, like, it was just once Roman's up, it's the number one prospect in baseball. You're not pulling him up to platoon. So at that point, yeah, it was Willier. If Willier can now hit lefties and he's got a little bit of pop, that conversation completely changes because now he's giving you something that the other guys also do. But Abreu's on a rookie deal. He's 25. He just won a Gold Glove. It changes the entire conversation I'm with you, Sammy. I have shifted away from the Abreu's the odd man out to someone else that will kick that can down the road. But yeah, you have to love what you've seen from Willier this so far this season, because it is better than I think anybody would have ever anticipated coming into this season.
Well, when these conversations start about odd man out, my guess is it's going to end up being a can that gets kicked down the road, because my guess is that Roman, I mean, obviously, you know, we're going to have to see them keep playing games, but my guess is that Roman isn't going to get called up until you get that first injury. They're going to look, I mean, he had a huge game to start AAA, struggled a little bit since, but he'll get called up when there's been an injury. That conversation will get kicked down the road, but I mean, it's not an outlandish take at this point to say that if the decision had to be made today, that Sidon Rafael would be the odd man out. Like, we can say that, right?
Not necessarily where I'm going with this, actually. Believe
that
it or
was
not.
Where I was going either.
And so,
oh, you guys are out of your mind. You're not about to say Jaren Duran.
We'll talk about it at another time. This is
not a
conversation.
That's outlandish.
When it comes,
that's crazy.
I don't think it is.
That's crazy.
I don't think it is.
That's crazy.
Don't think it is.
I know he has looked good.
Gordo, I don't know. I think he's looked fine. I think Duran's looked good. I think he's gotten really bad batted ball luck. He's hit the ball hard and he's played good defense other than that one play and left. But hold on Roman Anthony, when he comes up, I don't think it's going to be necessarily an injury. Probably, but not necessarily, just because I don't think they're going to bring him up unless he's up. They're not going to bring him up for a cup of coffee like they're doing with Hunter Dobbins, where he's probably going to go back down to AAA right away, despite a good performance. I think they're going to bring him up when there's a long leash for him to play, and they're not going to send him back down unless he has a Jackson Holiday kind of, you know, cold start, to the point where it's like, all right, let's restart this. We still believe in the kid, obviously, but let's restart this. So, yeah, it's weird because I want Roman Anthony to come up, but it kind of means that something bad has to happen to someone else, but.
But
again, I'll say it again.
It's a safety net, because
we're
able, and it's in the infield too with Meyer. Like, you're able to have something seemingly like Trevor Story went down last year and it was catastrophic. If Trevor Story goes down this year, obviously not good, but you've got that. You've got Meyer down there. If Jaren Duran went down in the outfield right now, it's like, obviously, oh my God, that sucks. But at the same time, you're getting the top prospect in baseball to replace him. It's the same thing as the pitching. Like, you needed a double. There was a doubleheader. They wanted to push Fitz back a day, push everything back a day. They called on Hunter Dobbins, who looked terrific, 14 swing and misses in an MLB debut in 5 innings. Like, it doesn't, like, your safety nets in AAA, we talked about it all offseason, how much better it is than it's been.
Mm-hmm. Oh, feels good, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You don't have to. We're not talking about like Sidon. You got to move your spot. From you're an all-star or gold glove caliber center fielder, we need you to move to shortstop in case of emergency. It's like, no, there's other safety nets this year. It's just much more mentally relaxing as a fan of the team to know you got that in the bank.
Yeah. And with what we saw the first, I would say, 5-6 games, it was basically like Willier and Campbell are kind of carrying the offense. And the take I had at the time was, okay, this is great, because obviously, guys like Devers, Bregman, Casas, Duran, they're going to get going. And Devers and Bregman definitely have. The Devers stat I will pull up is that after the fifth game of the season, his OPS was 174. We're now 10 games into the season. His OPS is 825. Like, he's basically now at his level for where, like, we're one game away from him being at or above his OPS from last season.
Gordo, listen to this rise. Here's game by game. We'll expand on this a little bit. OPS game by game. Game 1, 0. Game 2, 0. Then it goes 77, 111, 174, 353, 398, 524, 627, 825. He ramped up quickly. He got that one double, and then he wasn't looking back. I'm glad we don't have to hear any more of this Devers, what's wrong with him crap.
No, he's fine. He's good.
Yeah. Can you believe it? He didn't magically forget how to hit. God, nobody ever learns from the small sample thing, myself included. I do this sometimes too. It's hard not to get caught up in these narratives, but the Devers
you
one.
You never thought he was screwed. Like,
No, not this one specifically. Like you know, we all get caught up in small samples sometimes. But this one, like, come on. Yeah. Did we really think? The only thing was, is he hurt? The bat speed was slow. But no, we saw the slight improvement game by game, and it was clear, you know, a few days ago that he would catch fire eventually. And here we are, 825 OPS.
And, like, also, it was never, is he going to get going? It was just a matter of when. And to his credit, I thought it would take a little bit longer just because he had no spring training. And I honestly still to this day believe that that's the reason why he got off to such a slow start. So I figured maybe it would be maybe the middle of April, like maybe even like the 15th to 20th of April that you'd start to see it. But I mean, obviously, I mean, he just flipped the switch and he's back. He's good to go.
Yeah. The other thing too is he was what, 4 for 4 in that second game. Yep. I think all four or three of the four, all batted balls were over 100 miles an hour. Like he wasn't like, it wasn't bloop singles. Like he was putting balls through the monster.
Yes. That's the thing. It's the opposite field too. It's opposite field. Left and center field. Like that's when he's at his best.
In the air, opposite field, hard hit, like all the boxes you want Rafi to check, he's now checking. It was to the point in that second game where, like, every time he came up, I would, like, put my phone down. I'm like, he's going to do something. Like, we're back at that point where Rafi is must-watch at-bats because he's going to do something. And, Gordo, like you said, I think last episode, two episodes ago, we were all kind of guessing, like, first week of May, he finds it, middle of April. No, it took game number 6 to figure it out, and he's crushing the ball.
So, Pat, the exit velocities here, I have them for you. He hit 103.6. That was his single in the third inning. 103.6 again, his double in the sixth inning. 106 on the dot with his double in the fifth. And then his single, actually, this is in the nightcap, was 109 miles an hour off the bat. 109.2 off the bat for a single. So, yeah, he's locked in right now.
The other thing, too, is like with Rafi, Miles Michaelis is like the exact pitcher who he just tees off on. Hanging, breaking stuff in a 92-mile-an-hour fastball. Like Rafi having multiple hits against him is a given when he's on. And he just demolished everyone the Cardinals threw today. Yep. He's all the way back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I know we were going to talk about this at some point in the episode. Let's just do it right now. He looked freaking great in the Wally helmet, which this thing is, it has to be, it's definitely better than the Yoshida weights last year. The question is it better than the laundry cart? And I want to say the mere shock factor of seeing it put on Trevor Story the very first time it was used. I think it's better than the laundry cart, which is a tough one to top, but this thing, it looks like, I mean, it's like half Wally, half like demented, like boogeyman or some shit. I don't know.
I think it looks like there's like trapped souls that are being tortured and they're stuck inside the Wally mask. They're like screaming from the afterlife. But to us, it looks funny. So I think that contrast, it's probably just me who thinks that, but I don't know. I like it. The trapped souls.
It's funny too because like there's so many different personalities on the team. Like Rafi's just always like laughing and giggling his little ass off. So him just grinning like a villain. Yeah, like him just grinning in the Wally helmet like that. It's so funny.
Shout out Sean Palmer for the design.
But then you have like dead serious guys like Story, and you just see his face poking out, and it's just like it fits everybody differently, which makes it so much funnier than like the laundry cart, because that like, you hop in, ride, high fives, cool, whatever. Just the novelty of it, like putting on a Wally head and your face just peeking out. It's so good. It's so good. Shout out to Jaron Duran for commissioning that.
Yeah. You make a good point about like, you've got guys like Devers who are cheesy, goofy, and like they obviously, they look great in the thing, but then yeah, obviously guys like Story and Bregman too, like guys who are definitely like they're serious, they're grinders, but that shit, it's funny on them too. The guy I'm excited to see wear it is the guy who was just on the podcast today, Christian Campbell, because like he's a pretty stoic, not super, like, he's not going to show a ton of emotion. I know he showed the emotion after his first home run, but he's not a super emotional guy. But, like, how can you not, how can you wear that thing with a straight face?
Like, even Trevor's smiling.
Yeah. Like, what is Christian Campbell going to do with that thing on his head?
I think he'll cheese it up. I wish we could have seen, like, JD Drew wear it, see if he smile.
Oh, dude, can you imagine Pruszynski rocking that thing?
Oh,
he would have stomped that shit out.
He would never
fire.
Have allowed that. He would never, never.
Too fun.
Let's on the topic of Bregman, because he kind of started slow too. The batting average wasn't like Devers-esque, but it was all singles. Second game of the doubleheader today. 4 for 5, 6 RBIs. He's up to .341 batting average, .974 OPS. Shock factor. He started going nuts as soon as he got to Fenway Park. Oh my God, who could have seen it coming? The guy that the Sox paid $40 million, he's been a star in this league for years, who crushes at Fenway Park, and they showed all the stats on ESPN, how he's like the highest slugging or OPS or whatever, second highest behind like Ted Williams all time at Fenway. Shocker, he goes nuts at Fenway. Like, good contract, I say? Probably. Was it going to be from the start? Probably, because he impacts the game in so many ways, and like, you hear it from the kids, but don't forget, the guy's a good hitter too. And you've obviously seen the defense turn all the double plays. He's been really good over there at third base. But it felt really good to see him go nuclear with the bat in this series, just to remind people that, like, yeah, like, he's here for defense, he's here for leadership, but he can freaking swing it too. Don't forget that.
Yeah. I mean, I, for one, was shocked to see Alex Bregman, the all-star, go off. I couldn't believe it. I thought he was absolutely cooked after a few games. But no, in all seriousness, yeah, I mean, he's such a good fit. Like we said all offseason, this is the most obvious fit for the Red Sox. Right-handed bat, plays good defense, could move him around the field if you absolutely need to, which they haven't ended up doing, but still. And I'm glad they didn't overthink it. This is exactly the vision, him peppering the monster. I love how, and this is going to make me sound old, I love how he goes up the middle when he hits the ball on the ground. Like, he gets a lot of singles up the middle when he's not lifting the ball. I feel like that just adds up over time. And just the habit of staying in the middle of the field, I love that. Great fit. I can't wait to keep watching this guy. I hope he sticks around for a few years.
It was pretty sweet, too, that the home run was, like, dead center. Like, it was just a shot. Yeah. Quickly, we cannot mention Bregman's home run without mentioning poor Jordan Walker.
Yes.
Dude.
Oh, my God, dude.
That poor – they were asking him about, like, his March Madness bracket. The game was so out of hand. The ball off of Bregman's bat, he just goes back. And
back!
It's, like, 40 feet over the center field. Like, not even close to in play.
Hey, he's a great sport, man. He handled that well.
He was
credit
great.
To Jordan Walker. Yeah, he handled that well.
Guys like him, with that personality, like, he was perfect for the on-field mic, because so many guys, it's like, I got to focus, I can't talk, and, like, it's so awkward. But he was really good. And to his credit, all these balls were getting hit to him, too. Like, every single was hit his way. And then there were bombs off the wall, over the wall, and, you know, to his credit, he was still cheering his pitcher on, and he was crediting the Red Sox.
Oh, yes.
Wait, can
all back! All back!
Back! Back! Oh,
it's so good. It's so good. Poor Jordan, man.
Yeah, but no, yeah, I like him better now. I didn't really know anything about him before. Obviously, I know he's like a former stud top prospect that hasn't really panned out to this point. He's had a good year so far, so maybe it'll happen this year, but didn't know anything about his personality. Mad respect to him now, though.
That was a knock on him. He can't lift the ball. That was what he struggled with. Cardinals could not get him to lift the ball. But yeah, you know what's funny is when he's playing, he's got kind of like a mean look. Like he stares the pitcher down, looks like he's no fear and almost a little angry. But then he talks and he's like super cool and loose. So yeah, tonight kind of made me a Jordan Walker fan.
Yeah, and that's what that segment should be like. Should do. You got to get the right guys on it because then you can create fans of the personalities. Which baseball's a grind. It's 162 games. You don't get to see that all that often with these guys. But those guys, but
less,
guys,
less picture in picture. I wish they did less of that. I don't like when they do that.
Just make it smaller at least.
Once in a while, or show it less. Just I hate.
Or maybe in between the pitches or something. I don't know.
But I also don't think ESPN's baseball broadcast is as bad as everyone says. I feel like it's like with Joe Buck. It's just hip to say, oh, it sucks. But I really don't think it sucks. I like the change of pace once in a while. Yeah,
it's good.
I think it's better than fine. I think it's actually good. And I, you know, of course, I prefer to listen to Dave O'Brien and Lou. But, you know, once in a while, switch it up, get the national
perspective,
takes, hear what people are saying from about the Red Sox. So yeah, I don't mind it. People chill out with the criticism.
You could also listen to the two wills produced by someone, one of the four of us on the screen.
Oh, it's Pat. Yeah, Pat's producing. Right?
Yeah.
Guys, I gave up on the whole doctor thing. Will Fleming asked me to take over for Joe, and I have obliged.
Joe's a doctor now.
Congratulations to Pat.
I know.
I have heart surgery tomorrow morning. So,
oh, cool.
Oh, damn. I'm gonna go a new level. Wow.
No, but Joe, I think honestly, doctor. On it, my honest take, and I'm not saying this just because you're here. I think Will and Will is my current favorite duo. They're
great.
Awesome. They're great. So I listen. What was the day game that was during one of the day games
Baltimore?
During the week? Yeah, one of them. I couldn't be home for it. Yeah, Newcomb's first start. But I listened to that on the radio. They're so good. I love how Will Fleming gets pissed when the Red Sox do bad things. That is what I want to hear my local broadcaster do, radio or TV.
I encourage him to do that, so you're welcome.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, shout out to Joe Braverman, who, by the way, super clutch this weekend with the mm-hmm. Campbell interview. It was raining really hard. Joe came to the ballpark. He was doing all the behind the scenes stuff, and he made sure to cover the camera, make sure my phone didn't break in the pouring rain. So shout out to Joe for saving me a trip to the Verizon store, get a new phone.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Restrictions apply.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
But before we get to enough said, how about that John Henry report from Buster Olney on the broadcast today about how basically it was his friends told Buster Olney that he's fallen back in love with baseball and he's reinvigorated, which I think you could tell based off of, I mean, he signed Bregman, he greenlit the Crochet trade and signed an extension there. He extended Christian Campbell. He's been encouraging the front office to extend members of this team's future, the young core. So it's not the most surprising thing in the world, but to me, I like to hear it. Like, obviously we don't like that he wasn't in tune with the team for years, but all we can ask for at this point is just moving forward. I want you to want this as badly as I do. And it's nice that it kind of feels like he does.
I mean, yeah, it's good that he's into it, but I also don't like that we have an owner that is sometimes into it and sometimes not into it. And when he's not into it, he's not going to invest in the team and he's just going to let them suck for 5 out of 6 years. I don't love that. I'm still not ready to be like, thank you, John Henry, you're the man. But like, come on, man. Why'd you lose interest? What led to you losing interest? None of us lost interest. We still wanted a good team. And I right when I heard that report, I knew people were going to praise him. And I was like, sick over it. Like, come on, don't give this guy, like, he's been absent for years and now he's briefly back and we're like, oh, I love you, John Henry. Like, fuck that, man.
You don't have to forgive him. I don't think you have to forgive him,
but I don't like your report is what I'm saying. I'm happy that he's into it, but it shouldn't be like that. I don't like the whole concept of like, I'm not into it. I'm not gonna give you a good baseball team. They're gonna suck, deal with it. I still make money. Oh, now I am into it. Okay, I'll go get Bregman, trade for Crochet. Now we're going to be good because I decided that I want to win now. And maybe I'll lose interest next year. Who knows? And Bregman, see ya. Like, what the hell? The whole Red Sox team is beholden to like how John Henry's feeling every single offseason. That's
kind of how ownership works. You know, if the owner wants to invest.
Put money into the team or sell the freaking team. I hate that. That's just, I get that's how it works. It's just gross to me.
My thing is, like, historically speaking, when John Henry's like in on the team and he's like quote unquote in love with baseball, no one can dispute that he's a good owner. Like, you look at like leading up to 04, leading up to 07, 18, like, you're talking about, like, he greenlit the biggest free agent starting pitcher contract ever in David Price. They played the waiting game and cashed in on JD Martinez. They brought in Manny. They signed Pedro. They brought in Shill. Like, I won't say his full name. But like, historically speaking, when he wants to win, he tends to take those steps. Now that he now wants to win and he's taking those steps again, I'm with Sammy. That doesn't give him kind of like an excuse for the past 5 or 6 years. I get they were waiting on a new young core to come through, but there were moves that they could have been making the past 3-4 years to get them way closer, way faster. And now that he's just given a shit again, he's making great, or he's not, he's letting Craig make great moves in Crochet and Bregman and Campbell and all of this. Yeah, it's great. It's exciting because that gives me even more hope than I already have for this year and the years moving forward. But at the same time, I don't know. I don't like an owner who's kind of like wishy-washy in and out every couple of years.
Well, Pat, I want to go back to something you said because you were like leading up to 04, leading up to 07, leading up to 18. I actually think that John Henry's greatest World Series as an owner was 13 because that team had nothing. Like, that team needed a reset, and he signed free agents to keep the team afloat during the reset, and it led to them winning a World Series. And that's not what he did this time around, and it's why they were so bad. My thought is, if he's not investing in the team, if he's not trying, then he should get crushed for it. But while he's investing and while he's trying, I don't want to crush him over hypothetically maybe in some odd 5 years or whatever, he stops caring again. Like,
no, we're not crushing him. We're just not giving him credit. We're not saying we like love that he's back into it. He should always be into it. It's like giving him credit.
I'm not disagreeing.
It's like giving someone credit for writing their name on a test. Like, he shouldn't get credit for that.
No, it's like if a kid has a great semester and he gets all A's, you praise him for getting the A's. You don't harp on the fact that in the first semester he got a bunch of C's. You praise him for getting the A's and hope that he'll move forward and get the A's. And if he falls back into the trenches and gets D's next semester, then yeah, you're going to hire a bunch of tutors and you're going to whoop him into shape. But for now, but he's getting A's.
This hypothetical child getting the A's is not expected. John Henry putting money into the team he owns is expected. If you want to be a good owner, it's expected. Otherwise, you're a bad owner. And then I don't think the guy deserves credit yet. I am happy he's back into it. I think it's dumb that we have to talk about it this way. I think he should always be into it. I hope he's still into it next year and the year after. But man, I'll never get that time back. So I'm not ready to give him credit for doing exactly what he should be doing.
I don't want it to come off like I'm forgiving him for the last 5 years. I'm not. I'm just going to give him credit while it's due. And I'm year to year with the guy. I just think if he is spending the money, which he's done, he deserves the credit. And if he has high payrolls, he deserves the credit. And if he doesn't have high payrolls, well, guess what? Like, just like it was every year the last 5 years, like, we will be here crushing him. The writers will be there crushing him. It happened. And if it happens again, then that'll happen again. We've seen the results. But we got to do some Nuff Said before we get out of here. Sammy, you want to go first?
Yes, I can go first. So I'm actually going to do a kind of a repeat Nuff Said from a recent episode. My guy, Carlos Narvaez, the guy who I said was going to take over for Connor Wong eventually, the Narv, as he's known by a few people.
God.
He's cooking it right now. 14 at-bats. He's hitting .429 somehow with a 1,199 OPS, three doubles, and good defense as well. So I'm liking Carlos Narvaez, and I'm loving the Narv nickname. I'm seeing some people are getting into it. Gordo, I think you're coming around. Pat's a little further around. Our guy Hogdale is into the Narv. I saw Zoidberger is into the Narv. We've got some listeners who are all aboard the Narv. So, just going to keep going with it. I hope it catches on. And fans of the Noid should also be appreciating the Narv. That's the inspiration behind it. So, just in all seriousness, he does look really good. I love his batting stance. It looks powerful for some reason. Can't really describe why. It just does. And good at-bats, too. It's not just him ripping doubles. He's putting together good at-bats, and it's nice to feel good with a good defensive catcher back there. Carlos Narvaez, good start. I'm feeling good about my hot take from the season preview.
Carlos Narvaez is happening. The Narv is not happening.
The Narv is happening.
The Narv is not. We cannot let this leave this podcast studio. We cannot have the Narv be this. This guy's too good for that to be his nickname.
So really quick, me and Sammy were at the home opener. He had gone to the bathroom. So I'm sitting alone. Carlos Narvaez comes up and I believe he hit a wall ball single. And I'm like, thank God Sammy was not here to see that, so I don't have to hear that stupid fucking nickname. From the concourse, I hear the Narv. And I go, you've got to be shitting me. And I turn and he's like fist pumping, walking down the aisle back to our seats. So yeah, I am over this stupid nickname. I will not partake. And that is that.
Get used to it, pal. The Narv.
Narv.
The Narv is here to stay.
Oh God. Pat, do you have enough said?
Yeah, I do. We got a quick little video during the broadcast, during the nightcap tonight. Of Richard Fitz rubbing his nipples after Bregman's double. And I took that screenshot and a screenshot from the special teams coach in Waterboy, who twists his nipples with his shirt off. And I put it on my Instagram story with the song Super Freak playing. Since I have posted that, Richard Fitz has seen it. So I will be following up with him next time I see him about said celebration and or thoughts on the Super Freak. Yep, there it is.
Wow. I cannot and wait then, to ask Richard Fitz about his.
And episode. There we go.
Richard Nips.
And for those of you who are listening on Spotify and not watching on YouTube, if you don't know what coach I'm talking about, it's the coach and the water boy who speaks in just straight up Cajun. The that one. And he twists his own nipples in the championship game.
Love a good coach that twists his nipples. Alex Cora should more try of it.
That. That should just be the whole dugout celebration while the whoever gets like hits a double. Let's say the Narv hits a double. He does the camera reel thing to the dugout, and the whole dugout rubs their nipples at him.
Hell yeah!
Hey, you like that?
No. It's just something else.
All right. Last enough said before we get out of here. Sounds like Vladdy's getting extended, so that's going to end my hopes and dreams.
What? Why? Where? Who's? Do we John have a good Heyman. Source on that?
Everyone.
Heyman, Passan, Mike DePortis. Passan
says it's getting announced this week.
Oh fuck! When did that happen? Why did I miss that?
It's like all over the place, but no one's like tweeting it explicitly. It's like in articles and on TV they'll talk about it, but like no one's tweeting, like except for like Mike DePortis, who deserves credit. But yeah, that'll crush my hopes and dreams for Vladdy. But
just means Costas is sticking around. Yep. More good content.
That's the thing, is my Vladdy dreams were not quite as strong when they committed to Devers being the full-time DH, because it basically meant that if they got Vladdy, they'd have to trade Costas. So, I mean, obviously, I still wanted the guy. I still think he's one of the 3 to 5 best hitters on the planet. But, yeah, good for him getting his money, assuming that gets done. But that's going to do it for episode 195 of Playtest. You want to just give another huge shout-out to Christian Campbell for taking the time in the cold rain to jump on the pod with us and talk to us, and just for being in general such a nice dude. And we're wishing him nothing but continued success. We love this guy and just so excited that he's locked in here for such a long time. But remember, before we get out of here, hit the subscribe button wherever you get your podcasts, Odyssey app, Spotify, Apple, wherever. Subscribe, rate 5 stars, leave a comment. Find us on YouTube. We're on the WEI channel on the Play Tessie playlist. So subscribe to WEI, hit the thumbs up on all the videos, and find us on the socials at PlayTessie on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. So for Sammy, for Pat, for Joe producing, it's Gordo here. It's been episode 195 of PlayTessie featuring Christian Campbell. Thanks for tuning in to this one, everyone. Peace.
Some people play by the rules, but the real game changers break them. I'm Soraya, and on Rule Breakers, we're talking to the risk takers, the rebels, and the ones rewriting the playbook. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.